Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Today on this Encore show, Darren and I talk about Jesus, that he was a nonconformist and we must follow his lead and example. He didn't abide by the rules and regulations of the Pharisees. The miracles of Jesus shook the Pharisees' very foundation. And Darren asks the question, when are we going to do the stuff that Jesus did on this earth? Jesus himself said, we must do the works of the Father. God has given you his authority and now you must deliver just like Jesus delivered. We must go out and help people with their spiritual burdens. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now let's join the program.
Not sure we can talk straight. Jeff Garrison's wife, Debbie, just brought in a cake for Barbara. I guess this is your birthday, right? And it's a wonderful carrot cake. Boy, I tell you, these Kansas girls know how to cook. And I'm
that
surprised.
That is the
you know,
best carrot cake I have ever had.
I'm surprised Jeff doesn't weigh 400 pounds.
Listen, you can do the
cook like
you
this.
Can do the show
I
today.
Do the show.
My mouth is full.
Well,
that is so good. Thank you, Debbie.
Anyway,
that is
Barbara,
great.
We
thank
just
you, Jeff.
Want to wish you a very wonderful birthday. And now listen up. This is done with great feeling and dedication. Keep smiling, Barbara. It gets better from here. Oh, I just want you to know we're thinking of you.
You're not going to do this every year, are you?
Might. Oh. You're going to have more birthdays?
No.
Just the last one?
This is the last one.
Well, you're the one that always says life before 50 is just a warm-up. So.
That's right. In fact, I think it's going to be in our next magazine. On the last page.
Really?
Life before 50 is only a warm-up. And that's absolutely true.
Well, you know we love you, Barbara. That's why we give you a bad time. And anyway, happy birthday. And I know our listeners feel the same about you receiving cards and all kinds of stuff.
You gave me a most unusual card.
<Here we go.
laughs> I open up this card. It's a beautiful front and
outside.
The verse. And there's a rose. And I open it up, and it's upside down. And it's exactly who you are. I mean, you even wrote in there, you are a wonderful woman for living with a man who's up the down staircase. And it was totally turned around, and you said the other cards in the slot with this card were right side up. It wasn't intended to be an upside down card.
Oh, I couldn't possibly reject this card. It was the inside.
That was so
I opened
unusual.
It up. I was shocked. I have to tell you, I was shocked standing there in front of the cards, and here the inside was upside down. I thought, you know, I'm going to write her a note from the upside down. Up the down
staircase. Well, that's you. That was just you. That was so perfect coming from you. That was great.
Well, you know
Thank
something
you.
Early on when I was a little kid, I kind of made an observation that, and maybe it's just something in me, but you know I saw people that were always conforming to things that in my little mind didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't change. You know, I watched that through college. I went to a couple Christian colleges and I saw a whole lot of compromise to performance that made absolutely no sense to me, Barb. I'm sorry. I'm just not a conformist when it comes to, if I've got to conform to something that's dead, you can forget it, because I am not, you know, everybody else, my dad used to tell me, just because everybody else does it doesn't mean you have to do it. If everybody else jumps off the building, you don't have to do that. Well, I won't credit him with this, but, you know, sometimes we conform to the wrong things. So I've kind of been, you could probably say, a nonconformist, but you know, Jesus was a nonconformist. He didn't conform to the things of the day. He attacked the things in the synagogues and the temples that were hurting people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just because he had a different idea. Those things were hurting people. Anyway, I hope you don't feel hurt on your birthday here.
It's been great. Birthday. I've enjoyed this carrot cake so much. Oh, it is delicious.
Good, isn't it?
It really is. Thank you, Debbie. And thank you, Jeff. I see here twice in the book of John, and many of you are reading through the book of John with us, and this is just so wonderful. And if you haven't read with us through the book of John, I'm asking you to start in chapter 13 and go through chapter 17. These are the last chapters that Jesus talked to his disciples, and I believe it's very important. And twice here, the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees tried to stone him twice. Not just once, but twice. And he slipped away through the crowd. And I can just see Jesus doing that. Because he just riled them so much, because he was a nonconformist. He was bringing in a brand new covenant, a covenant that said to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. And these Pharisees, they had all their rules and regulations,
right,
and everybody had to abide, but Jesus did not abide by them.
And they had everything set up. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones that walked around with the long robes and long tassels and the bells, and, you know, they wanted to be noticed and all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm, and saluted, and then, you know, whatever. They always wanted to be at the head table, you know, that kind of mentality. But I want to tell you, this Jesus rattled their cage big time.
Well, and when he came on the scene, they were left in the dust. I mean, you know, when he came on the scene and he was healing people and even raising people from the dead and making blind eyes see and making the lame walk, who had never walked in 38 years, who had been blind, a man who had been blind from birth, Darren, this shook their very foundation. And they had to attack him, because if they gave in to him, their whole identity, their tradition, everything was down the sewage pipe, whatever you call it.
Down the tube.
Yes. So.
Well, and you know, when they couldn't do these things,
they couldn't. Yes.
Even if they tried, they couldn't do anything, because they were almost the personification of death. Mm. And you know, we rag on you people. I'll be honest with you. We talk to you about this all the time. If you're in one of those dead churches where nobody gets born again, they've never had a healing in that church. Hello. And you can't take your problems there and have them pray and have it make a difference. And again, I talk a little bit about my background. We used to leave prayer meeting, and I'd hear the people, you know, saying kind words as they departed. And, oh, Sister So-and-so, we'll remember you in prayer. Well, that's fine. That's nice. But we got to get beyond nice. How about if I knew you were praying for me, it would make a difference? Now, wouldn't that be a shock? And some of you go to churches where you couldn't take your financial problems there. You wouldn't dare.
What happens with a moment, even if we're leaving church, what would happen with a moment where we would, oh, that's nice. Thank you, Jeff. Glass of water. What would happen if at the moment when we say, I'll be praying for you, that we actually took that person's hand and said a prayer? Actually said a prayer for them. I mean, are we in such a hurry that, well, I'll be praying for you, bye? Or can we take that moment? Jesus did. He was walking along the roads, and he took precious moments from his teaching and healed people and raised them up and made blind eyes to see.
By the way, I got a letter yesterday that offended me. I hope the guy's listening. Jack, the meter reader, is out here, and he reads the meters all over eastern Colorado. And he's outside. He's an outdoors type guy, but he has to crawl over fences to read some of these meters and so on.
I know what you're going to say.
I got a letter from his wife saying Jack fell off the fence or something and hurt himself.
Yes.
And he was off work for 2 or 3 weeks. Jack, why didn't you call me? Every time we pray, God touches you, man.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, that bothered me, Barbara, because I thought, there, this guy I love, and he knows I love him, and Nancy, his wife, knows it, and we love them. And so when I see him, I'm going to see him tomorrow night.
Oh.
I'm going to say, man, Jack, come on. What is the deal here?
Wear your full armor, Jack.
Say, what is going on? But you know something? We should have these kind of relationships where we know if we call our friend, they're going to pray.
Well, especially for an accident like that.
Yeah,
that's,
sure.
That's something.
Now, you're jumping on it, too.
Well, no.
Well, he can take it. He's a big boy. But really, folks, I'll tell you, we need to be in churches that teach us how to pray. And say, here's how you get in the Word. Here's how you do this stuff. And I like what one evangelist said. He started a very large group of faith churches. He came in as a raw heathen, got saved, and then he said one time, well, when do we do the stuff? When do we do the stuff?
Yeah,
when do we get with it?
Yeah, when do we do the stuff? I like that.
Yeah, and I, you know, I have a pen that a gentleman gave me, and it was from another ministry, and I think it was Well, I don't remember. Anyway, it says doing the stuff. We do the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Tommy gave that to you.
Tommy. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tommy. And that was from the lady and her husband. You traveled with them for a while. And you
the Hunters.
The Hunters.
Oh,
yeah. Hunters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charles and Francis.
Charles and
My
Francis.
Goodness.
Anyway, this lapel pin says we do the stuff for something like that. Well, I would say to you folks, if your church is not doing the stuff, and Jesus did the stuff, he came to tell us about the Father, mm-hmm. and he said, we must do the works of the Father. We read that earlier in the week here. We must do the works of the Father. And I believe, Barbara, if we're not doing the works of the Father, we're not pleasing to him. We need to act like our daddy,
yeah.
Abba, Father. That means we go out and pray for people with his power. He gave us a power of attorney. In fact, it's right here in John 14. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father, that is a power of attorney. By the way, we have a two-tape series on that called, well, it's called Power of Attorney. And some of you don't realize the authority you have been given. He has vested authority in you and ability to get your friends healed, get yourself healed, get your finances fixed. And you know, when we don't go and use and operate in that power of attorney, we're found wanting.
Yes.
And that's serious. I believe God's going to hold us accountable for that. I'm thinking he's going to say to us, why in the world, maybe it would say it this way, why in heaven didn't you use what I gave you? You know, you're running around down there with the sniffles, and you could have been healed all that time. Or you weren't running down there, and your checks were bouncing because you didn't have enough money. Why didn't you use my word and my power and my authority and ability?
Yes. Well, it says right here in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. And a lot of people are troubled of heart, Darren.
Right. Right.
A lot of people have worries that they could cast on him. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Or as the New American Standard said, believe in God, believe also in me, because he and the Father are one. And in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. He only tells us the truth from the Father and from the Spirit of truth that dwells in us as believers. So all the way around, Darren, if we really trust in him and abide in him, we're going to have truth, truth surrounding us. And right now in this day and age, we need that more than anything else.
You know, yesterday I was turning left at an intersection, and the lady coming the opposite direction from a side street was turning right. So here we are kind of going around each other in the intersection, and I noticed that this lady was probably in her 30s, but there were deep worry lines in her face. Mm. And I thought at the time, I wonder what's going on. I wonder why so much is showing up here. You know, really on her face, there's something's going on. And Jesus doesn't, he said, you know, give me your burdens. Give me your, you know, all this stuff. You don't need to be heavy laden. My yoke is eaten. My burden is light. And
that's
the reason it is light is he's carrying it.
That's right. Keith Green wrote a great song. God bless you, Keith. And we're going to see him in heaven. Praise the Lord. And it goes along with verse 6 of John 14. And I know this is Scott's favorite verse, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That means all the other religions can go hang themselves because who don't believe that Jesus Christ is the door. Because right here we see where Jesus is the only way to the Father. And so we know then that Allah is not the true God, and he is not the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, just from this one verse. And Keith Green wrote a song that says, I was so lost, but you showed the way because you were the way. And I was lied to, but you told the truth because you are the truth. And I was dying, but you gave me life because you are the life. And I love that song, How I Love You, You Are the One. And he took it right from John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What a precious Jesus we serve, Darren. Oh, let's not take him for granted. Let's not miss one day in telling him how much we love him. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord.
Well, here's one of Jesus' words in John 14, verse 12. It says, truly, truly, that's his way in this text of calling attention to what he was going to say. Now, today we might say, now listen up, guys, listen up. He was saying, pay attention here. Mm-hmm. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. There are two distinct verses that we would call the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us his name to go out and operate like he did.
Yes.
And he says in the scripture, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is the same. Having his name is like having him here in person.
Well, some people do not ask for the thing that will glorify God, and they don't ask in Jesus' name. They ask for very trite, superfluous, materialistic things, and they expect Jesus to answer them. And it says right here, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Now, some people ask Jesus for things that the Father's not going to be glorified in. He really isn't. And I believe that's why some people do not get their prayers answered. They are not praying prayers that are going to glorify God, nor are they praying in Jesus' name. That means that we get away from all this temporal stuff on this earth, and we ask Him for the important things, like, Father God, give me wisdom in this situation. Give me your knowledge. Give me your revelation knowledge. Give me your might and your counsel. Lord, give me those very spiritual things that will help me through these worldly things.
Well, right on down in the same chapter, Barbara, verse 25, Jesus is saying to His disciples, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to you the remembrance of all the things that I've said to you.
Yes, bring to remembrance
bring to
everything
remembrance.
I've said to you.
I'm going to remind you.
Well, look what Holy Spirit does. He's not only truth, a spirit of truth, but He brings us back. Now, some of you who say, I just can't memorize. This is so hard for me to memorize. Now, cancel that, because right here in this verse, as you serve Jesus, He will bring to your remembrance. That means to your memory. He will make your memory good. He will bring to your remembrance all that Jesus said to you, all that's in this Bible that you need at the time that you're speaking it. He will bring back to your remembrance.
Now, let me read the next verse. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you, but let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, the only time we hear that is at a funeral.
That's true.
And that's sad.
That's true.
That's
yes,
sad.
It is.
We need peace in between funerals, right?
That's right.
Well, let's take a phone call here. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Barb and Darren. I just wanted to call and wish Barb a happy birthday.
Oh, thank
She's
you.
Right here.
I'm having a very happy birthday. Thank
oh,
you,
I'm
Linda.
Glad. You're such a treasure to all of us.
Oh, thank you. Well, except for the chipmunk song. Everything's gone really well today.
That Darren's ornery, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
You know,
oh.
They say, if Mama's not happy, nobody's happy, that's so he better watch
that's
out.
That's right, Linda. That's a good
one. Girls are ganging up on me.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was listening to the show Monday, and I don't know if you made your mom cry, but you sure touched my heart talking about going back to your old home, your house and
yes.
all. And Barb, you're just such a treasure, and I just love the way you laugh and the way you share your heart. And it's just wonderful to be able to go back to your past like that and see the glory of God in it.
Yes, or in the present now, and to see what He's brought you from. Oh,
yes.
That's right, Linda. When the magazine comes out this weekend, you're going to be so blessed. And those of you who are listening, Linda is our partner of the month, and it's such a great testimony, Linda. And thank you so much for doing that. And the pictures of your granddaughter and your two daughters is precious. So thank you for doing that for
us. We're a blessed family. But,
yes.
You know, when you're born again and God comes into your life in the Holy Spirit, and you're able to go back to your past. A lot of people run from their past, but when the Holy Spirit walks you through it and you see the glory of God, that is such a blessing, such a gift from God. And when the devil brings the past up, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Holy Spirit does, in that glory, and I hear that in your voice, and when you shared that story Monday, that is so great. And God is so good.
Isn't He? Oh,
and,
praise the Lord.
I just wish everyone could tap into that. And we all been in a pit, and we've all had bad past and all. But when God walks us through it, and that glory shines, it's a wonderful thing.
It is. Well, thank you so much for calling.
I'm glad you shared that with us, Barb. We love you, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well, we love you, Linda.
Thank you
for calling.
Linda.
All right.
God
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Bye.
She's a precious saint.
She is.
She really is. She has a gift of faith.
She really does. For what she's been through, and boy, has she been through a lot. This lady, it isn't in her testimony, but her son-in-law walked on the porch one night, threatening to kill all of them. And that's when Gene was alive, the father-in-law. And so they just locked the doors and they stayed in the house, and finally the son-in-law killed himself on their porch. This lady has been through the war. And to see her really, especially after Jean's death in this hard year that she's gone through, just to buckle up under it, stand strong, put on the full armor of God, go for it. Oh, girl, that's the kind of woman that God loves, yes.
You know, we could write a story just on her life. But, you know, she has a gift of faith. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has come through for her so many times. And I know when she's after something, God's going to give it to her because she's got a pure heart and she has faith.
That's right.
And I wish we could convey that to more of our listeners. You know, if you spend time in the Word, God will come through for you.
Yes.
He'll come. He won't abandon you. It's not just a Bible study, you know, something that's not going to pay off. It's not just academics, folks. This is real life stuff.
Mm.
And you need to get in the Bible and know Him. And I love this John 14 because, you know, when I'm praying for somebody to be healed, for example, they come down in the meeting, and I try to check them out to see, do they have any faith? Have they ever had a miracle? Do they know Jesus? Are they born again? You know,
are the lights on?
Are the lights on? You know, did the elevator go all the way up?
Oh.
And I'm saying, you know, have you ever been healed? You know, I'm kind of checking around here to see, you know, do they have any background here with Jesus?
Well, like the guy that said to you, I can do what you do, or what was his comment?
Yeah.
And you said, oh, are you born again? And he says, what's that?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I just walked off and said, Fat chance, go ahead and try it.
Oh.
But see, instead of trying this stuff, we do it. So when it says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I already know by Scripture it is God's will to heal this person. And this person is asking for something that they haven't been able somehow to get done on their own. And I can't get it done on my own. Jesus is a healer. So I'm going to use Jesus' name, and I would pray like this. I would say, Jesus, I say, because I'm going to get over here on your side, Jesus. I say, because His healing anointing is flowing, I say you're healing my friend standing here today, and you're doing it right now. Now, you see, that word ask really means demand. If you ask or demand anything in my name, I will do it. Well, I'm just demanding that His will be done in this person's body. And guess what? Then we speak to the spirit of infirmity, and it takes off because it's chicken. Not only that, it's weaker than Jesus, and the weakness has to give in to strength. And healing is easy. Some people make it so hard, but it's easy. So then if they come up and say, you know, I've got an arthritic knee, I said, fine, we'll pray for it, and God will heal you. I already know it's His will to heal him.
Yes.
So I pray, and I said, okay, walk around this room. Now, we did that on Sterling this last week.
Well, and remember Angelina. God bless her. She was in pain when she came up for prayer, and she was in tears. And she just walked around that room probably once. And her face just lit up. The
you
pain
could read
was
it
gone.
On her face.
And I pray that she's in the Word this week. And
she looked like a billboard for Jesus.
Yes.
When we prayed for her, she'd had some abdominal operation. I think it was gallbladder or something. She said, I'm in pain. I said, you're in pain right now? She said, yes. Well, sometimes to get my audience's attention, I'll say, well, goody, goody. She's in pain because I know it's going to leave. So then I said to her, would you just walk around the room here, please? She walked around both sections of the chair. She came back up there with a big smile on her face, healed. Now, how can Jesus do that? Well, number one, He's bigger than pain. He's bigger than disease. He's bigger than disorder. He's bigger than a spirit of infirmity. All of those things are what cause you physical problems. Plus, He defeated the one that sends those things to us, who is the devil.
That's right.
So the chief of that other business, the devil, that's the king of pain and disorder, He has already been defeated, so we can go with the winner, Jesus, and we can get healed. And I love it.
Oh, I do too. There is a thing Jesus said, though, to the man whom He healed in chapter 5, verse 14. And when Jesus found him in the temple, He said, behold, you've become well. Don't sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. And so many people, Darren says, well, it didn't work. You know, and for a moment they were relieved, and they went right back into the sin that Jesus told them to come out of. So remember
what book are you in there?
We're in John chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus found him in the temple, the one who had been healed. And He's really saying, watch your words and watch who you are around. Watch who you're around, who you associate with after you've been healed. It says, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. And that's so important to remember that. Don't go back into your old lifestyle. Don't go back into those old sins after God has so miraculously touched you.
And I'm going to say this to you, folks. Some of you need to disconnect from your friends. They're not good for you. Look around. See where they're going with their lives. See what they value, what they talk about all the time. if I see a guy get off a city bus here in Denver and he's got this long thing and it's probably made out of some kind of fabric and it's about 3 feet long, I say, I'll bet you that guy's a pool player. He's probably got a stick, his favorite stick, and he's either into pool or snooker.
Oh, he's got a case. It's got it. It's encased.
Yeah. And he's carrying that, and he's probably a pool shark. Mm-hmm. I would say that. Now, if I get around him, he's probably going to start talking to me about all the games they play on a pool table or snooker table. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd say the same thing. If I see this guy carrying this big, awkward bag, I bet he's a bowler. Mm-hmm. And you could probably get his attention by saying, have you ever had a 300 game? You know, and he's probably totally into bowling, probably watches the bowling on the television and all this. Mm-hmm. Get somebody else that's into golf. They're going to talk about golf.
That's right.
Well, some of you need to check out what your friends talk about. Are they on a path that's going to lead them to prosperity and the good life? I'll say that. And the good life, by that I mean the Jesus stuff. Or are they going to spend all their time with these sports and whatever? And I've never had a 300 game on bowling alley, never.
I've never had a 150 game.
You know? I had to be careful I didn't loft the ball and have it come down on my head.
That's true.
Okay. But anyway, we need to find out, what are our friends, our circle of friends, talking about? Now, what they talk about is going to get into you.
Yes, that's
if
right.
If you're there, you're going to become in some way tainted or somewhere influenced by what they're into. And if their big deal is not Jesus and your big deal is Jesus, either they're going to have to compromise or you are. And I'm saying, don't compromise. Get out of that. If they're not good for you, go get some new friends.
Well, so many people think, well, I will be influential to this bad company. I will join them, and then I will influence them for good. Well, here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. And he says, first of all, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if a person with good morals comes into bad company, that bad company is going to have influence over those good morals.
Well, let me say this to you. You're probably not going to find that on a chat room on the Internet. And we're finding all kinds of grievous stories. Well, I thought this person was really cool, and I met him on the Internet chat room, and we got together, we hooked up, we got married, and we got a disaster on our hands. Hey, folks, let's wake up. Let's call the Internet for what it is. Information is not all good information. That's not a good place to have a romance.
Well, that's where fantasies live there.
That's where fantasies
live. They
really
do. Right.
Well, anyway, we're going to be back with you tomorrow. We love you. We care about you. And the reason we have our foot in your backside is we want you to change. We want you to quit losing, because we read so many letters where people are losing. And you know something? Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundantly. You don't have to lose. Make a decision. Go with God. Go with Jesus. Get in the Bible and find out what he says. Read John chapter 14, Gospel of John.
Oh,
it's a dynamite
wonderful.
Chapter. Dynamite chapter. It'll change your life.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.